Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Junks are presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. We head out now to the BetQL guest hotline. Welcome in Robert Griffin III. He's delivered by Metropolitan Moving and Storage. If you're planning an upcoming move, either locally or out of state, do what Grant, Danny, Draft, T-shirt, and JP did. Call Metropolitan Moving and Storage at 301-279-0090. Robert, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. I'm doing great. How about yourselves?
Doing well. Thank you.
Interesting. I was looking at some of your tweets, and you're a quarterback, and so you'd think that you'd give love to the quarterbacks. There's some damn good quarterbacks in these final four teams, but you pointed out that the teams that won the games this weekend, first of all, only gave up, I think, 12 and a quarter points per game, and they won in the trenches, and we saw that in Cincinnati for sure.
Yeah, 100%, guys. And like Cincinnati's win was so impressive because they were down three offensive linemen, right? You know, no Jonah Williams, no Alex Kappa, and of course, Lyle Collins is out because he's on IR with an ACL. So for them to go out there and protect Joe Burrow the way that they did was impressive. You know, I had a little fun on Twitter talking about their white jersey with the snow and them blending in. But at the end of the day, they won on both sides of the line of scrimmage. And I think the point that was being made is that the last four quarterbacks are, you know, Patrick Mahomes, Jalen Hurts, Joe Burrow, and Brock Purdy. And Purdy's been playing really, really well as of late down the stretch. But it really comes down to the entire team playing the way that those teams have played, which is why those teams are the best four teams in the NFL right now. It's not just about the quarterback. It certainly helps. But it's not like any of these guys went out there and threw for 350 yards and four touchdowns. Most of the games were pretty low scoring. The defenses played their tails off, and these guys dominated on both sides of the ball. And, you know, people don't like to give credit where credit's due, but running the football was the key this past weekend in the divisional round, not throwing the football around like it's 7-on-7.
Robert, I can buy into some of that, but I just look at the Joe Burrow draft where the Bengals had the number one pick and the then Redskins had the number two pick. The Bengals get Joe Burrow, and their future is incredibly bright at this point. One pick later than that, Chase Young is selected by Washington, and Washington just seems to be spinning their wheels. They're in this cycle where they win seven or eight games, and they can't get out of their own way. So securing that quarterback is super important. And I know that Purdy came out of nowhere as Mr. Irrelevant, and he's got his team two wins from the Super Bowl. But I'd be pretty happy if I were the Bengals with my future with Joe Burrow. And along the same lines, even though they lost, I'd be pretty happy if I had Josh Allen leading my team at this point. Or Mahomes, obviously.
Yeah, no question there. You know, no doubt about the quarterback isn't important. It is, you can still say, is the most important position in football to secure. But none of these quarterbacks are going out there historically and winning Super Bowls without top 10 defenses. You know, only, I think, eight quarterbacks have ever done it all time. So when you talk about Joe Burrow, yes, you know, having him certainly helps that team. But it wasn't that without Joe Mixon, that Bengals team doesn't win that game the way that they win it against the Bills. They were able to control the time of possession. They were able to control the ball. I pointed out that none of the quarterbacks that won turned the ball over this past weekend. So, yes, having that quarterback is paramount, but unless you build it like the 49ers did, you know, where you got Deebo Samuel, Christian McCaffrey, George Kittle, Brandon Ayuk, and a number one defense, you're going to need one of those top five quarterbacks to get to this point. But those top five quarterbacks alone aren't going to get you to the promised land. And I think that's what the Bills kind of ran into, because they could not run the ball effectively and have balance on offense against the Bengals. And that's ultimately what doomed them. So, yes, you can have Josh Allen, but if you don't have the pieces around Josh Allen to help him stay balanced and not have to be Superman all the time, it's going to be really hard to get to the Super Bowl or the AFC Championship game.
You know, Robert, speaking along those lines, I want to get your take. I know you think Brock Purdy is one of the best stories in the NFL, and I agree with you. And I love watching him. I love rooting for underdogs, so I root for him like crazy. He doesn't have the biggest arm, not the biggest guy. Can kind of understand why he slipped. But I want to know, in your opinion, how does his talent translate? In other words, if he didn't have Christian McCaffrey and Deebo and all these other weapons that he has, would he be... would he still be successful in this league? Because it appears to me, even though he doesn't have the biggest arm, he's not the biggest guy, he creates with his legs, he keeps his eyes downfield, he has composure, he obviously can go through his progressions. He does a lot of things well that I think would still potentially translate in the right situation with other teams.
Yeah, I would say Brock Purdy, you know, first and foremost, he does have all those weapons. So it's really hard to kind of try to project and talk about him without the guys that I just mentioned, the Deebos and the Kittles. He has those guys. So he's going through his progressions and he's maximizing the game plan. And I think a reason that he came in, you know, so more advanced than most rookies in this situation is because he played all 4 years and started all four years at Iowa. Right, he's played a ton of football. He understands how to maximize a game plan, and I think that's what's allowed him to stay cool, calm, and collective in these moments. He never shies away from it in interviews. He knows that he's in arguably the best situation in all of NFL football right now with the defense that he has and the weapons that he has on the offensive side. All he has to do is facilitate the ball and not turn the ball over. And ultimately, that was the best thing he did against the Cowboys. He did not turn the football over, and we saw Dak Prescott go out there and throw two interceptions, and that was the difference in the game, no matter how we want to cut it up and splice it up and talk about it on TV. Brock Purdy's biggest asset against the Cowboys was he didn't turn it over. And if he can do that and facilitate the ball and allow his offensive weapons to make a couple special plays and their defense shows up the way that they have, they can wholeheartedly go out there and make it to the Super Bowl.
Robert, I know this is jumping ahead, but what do you think happens with Purdy and Trey Lance as he recovers from the fractured ankle? This is a 49ers team that parted with a lot of assets to move up and draft Trey Lance. They thought he was the QB of the future, and now Purdy plays so well in relief of Jimmy Garoppolo. What do you think they do there at quarterback heading into 2023?
Well, I'll tell you what, the 49ers probably have had one of the craziest in-season quarterback turnovers that we've seen for a team to make it to the NFC Championship. When Trey Lance was playing, you know, they deemed him the future. He was going to play. He got hurt. And then Jimmy came in. And if you guys remember, in the middle of the year, the conversation shifted to, hey, the 49ers are open to bringing back Jimmy Garoppolo as a starting quarterback next year. So Trey Lance still hasn't really gotten an opportunity to prove himself because he hasn't had extended playing time. Jimmy came out, played well enough that, you know, he was playing like a top five quarterback also. People won't give him credit for that, but if you go look at the games and watch the tape, he was playing at a high level, and now you got Brock Purdy playing at a high level. So I think the common denominator here is, as we all know in Washington, with Kyle Shanahan, he's one of the best game planners and one of the best football minds I've been around for the quarterback position, and he's got Brock Purdy playing at a high level. So if Brock Purdy... I don't think he has to win this game or go to the Super Bowl for it to be a conversation next year of him being a starter. I think that's already been determined, that him and Trey Lance, right now today, it's an open competition between the two of them. Doesn't matter about the draft position. And I think they should come out and say that whenever the time comes. Now, if he goes and wins the Super Bowl, it's a done deal. He's a starter. There is no open competition. But right now, today, it should be an open competition between Trey Lance and Brock Purdy. I think he's earned it, and I think Trey Lance will be up for the challenge.
What do you make of the Dak criticism? You mentioned the two interceptions. They are what they are. I agree with you. It's probably the difference in the game. He's now, I guess, 2-4. I always have a problem sometimes with these playoff things. You base them on 3 or 4 games, and, you know, we make these large generalizations, pretty small sample size. But he hadn't had tremendous success in the playoffs, and some people think you can't win with them. And I just think that's crazy.
Yeah, I think Dak, you know, I had brought this up on Monday Night Countdown, that the Dak had to make a decision with his play, what track he was going to go on. Is he going to be on the Tony Romo track, where he's a great quarterback, has a great career, you know, could possibly go on, do TV and do an amazing job? Or is he going to be on the Troy Aikman track, where he's a great quarterback, but he's also bringing Super Bowls back to Big D? And right now he's on the Tony Romo track. I was actually at that game against Tampa, watched him go out there and dominate the Tampa Bay Bucks. And in that moment, I thought, man, this could be the year that the Cowboys can get it done, because the way Dak played in that game, they could win any game and beat any team in the NFL. He just didn't have that type of performance this past weekend. And I just think, I agree with you, that the large generalizations can be a problem, because now players can be stuck in a box by the media, and it puts that pressure on them. Mm-hmm. If Dak's going to go out and bring a Super Bowl to Dallas, they're going to have to get him some more weapons. Obviously, the Amari Cooper trade, in hindsight, was a mistake. They needed someone outside of CeeDee Lamb to give him another weapon, especially when Tony Pollard went down. But he's going to have immense pressure on him with the amount of money that he's making and the fact that he is 2-4 in the playoffs moving forward. He's going to have to really overcome that. And a lot of times we don't see guys overcome that. But I think that in Dallas, that pressure is constantly there. And Dak has the confidence to do it. So I think he eventually does, as long as they give him the weapons to make it happen. The bottom line is, not a better team than the Dallas Cowboys do. And they have to understand that and go retool and build up for next year.
Talking to RG3, let's look ahead. So you've got the Chiefs at home against the Bengals. The Bengals and Joe Burrow have had their number, but I almost feel like KC's due. Mahomes, though, dealing with the high ankle sprain. How do you see this game playing out?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, when you look at the last 3 matchups these teams have had, the Bengals have won all 3, but the Chiefs have gone to the fourth quarter with a lead in all 3 of those games. So what's really been the difference? It hasn't been quarterback play. It's been the ability to run the football and the ability to protect the football. I mean, the Chiefs, in each of those games, lost the turnover battle. They committed more penalties. They gave up more sacks. So all of that, they just didn't play great complementary football, especially down the stretch. So I think that's what it comes down to. These teams are pretty evenly matched across the board, whether it's quarterback for quarterback. You know, you could talk about Joe Mixon and Pacheco at wide receiver. The Bengals have the advantage because they've got a Ja'Marr Chase, right? T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd, Hayden Hurst at tight end. So I love this game. I do think the Chiefs come out on top, but as we all know with the Bengals, you never say never. Now, this team has continually found ways to win, but I do think the Chiefs are due. Patrick Mahomes has been waiting for this moment for an entire year. Really, obviously, they lost to him in the regular season, but he's been waiting for this moment as the rematch of the AFC Championship to get back to the Super Bowl and possibly win it. I think that it is what ends up happening. But we're all lucky and blessed to watch this game, because it's 2 of the best quarterbacks we've ever seen going up against each other. Even though they don't play each other on the field, ultimately they're going to be judged by, you know, the way that they play.
Moving over to the NFC, how close do you think Jalen Hurts is to 100%? It didn't look like they really wanted to limit him running. He had 9 carries in the win over the Giants, but he did look a little bit reluctant to tuck the ball and run at times. Do you think he's close to 100%? And how do you see that matchup between the Eagles and the Niners?
Yeah, I mean, he talked about it after the game. He said that he didn't really have an opportunity to truly test the shoulder. I mean, they dominated that game, right? They ran for 268 yards. He didn't really need to do much running himself. I think the way that they won that game is just the dominant fashion that we've seen from them all year long. They can beat you throwing the ball. They can beat you running the ball. They can beat you up on defense. And I think that's what we saw. So for Jalen Hurts, it's just he's willing and able to lead a team and win however he possibly needs to. It's the NFC Championship game. If he's got to put his shoulder down and go run over somebody for a touchdown in the fourth quarter, I think he will do it. I don't think he'll do that in the first quarter. So does that mean he's reluctant to do it? No, I just think he's playing smart. And we all know on this call that You know, I could have played smarter when I was playing the game and slid a lot more. So I anticipate that Jalen Hurts will play it safe early in the game, and then when his team truly needs him at the end, he'll put it on the line for him.
Do you expect the Giants to break the bank for Daniel Jones, or does he get like a, you know, $25 to $28 million per year type of deal? What sort of deal do you see Daniel Jones signing with the Giants in the offseason? Or does he depart? Does he wind up with a different team?
Oh, we lost him.
Might have lost RG3.
I didn't touch anything. It just happened. Hopefully it's not a thing.
The Daniel Jones one is a tough one because he did play better.
Mm-hmm.
But you also have to look at the team that they played in the playoffs.
Right.
Everybody had success against the Vikings defense this year.
What'd you ask, Robert Cakes?
Well, he was asking about Daniel Jones.
Like what sort of deal does he get from the Giants if the Giants are the team that signs him, or does he wind up elsewhere?
Yeah, I mean, the question knocked me out, right? Kicked me all the way off the phone.
Mm-hmm.
It just depends on what do you consider the Giants breaking the bank? Because $20 to $25 million, don't get me wrong, anybody listening, that's a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
But with what quarterbacks are making nowadays, that's going to be half of the starting quarterback market, you know, already at this point. We've got guys making $50 million a year, I believe. I think Aaron Rodgers makes 50. So if Daniel Jones signs at $20 to $25 million, do the Giants view that as a bargain price? Or do you view that as breaking the bank? I can tell you, you know, I tweeted this out, you know, that Daniel Jones, he exceeded all expectations, had career high in completions, passing yards, rushing touchdowns, completion percentage, yards per attempt, touchdown interception ratio, quarterback rating, and QBR this year, right? So he improved drastically, but some people will look at that and say, well, he was bad, and he just got, you know, he became okay. So how do you approach that as a Giants organization? Are you willing to pay him that much money, or do you try to go get a rookie in the draft? I think he's proven to them that he deserves at least one more year if they can't find the guy that they love in the draft or in free agency. But I don't think that it's to the point where now you're paying them top dollar starting quarterback money because of the performance that he had. He did improve. How much of that is because of Brian Daboll? How much of that is because of the work that he put in? So it's definitely a conversation. I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that he's gone or that he stays.
Robert, thanks as always for the time. We'll catch up with you again next week.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it.
All right. All right, guys. God bless.
Yep. All right, man.
Thank you. That's RG3, delivered by Metropolitan Moving and Storage, your 15-time Angie Super Service Award winners. Planning an upcoming move? Do what Grant, Danny, Drab T-shirt, and what JP did. Call Metropolitan Moving and Storage at 301-279-0090.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So if you're in the majority of Wizards fans, you're probably waking up this morning shaking your head, like, what's going on? Rui Hachimura gets dealt to the Lakers for Kendrick Nunn and 3 second-round picks. You're welcome to weigh in if you're frustrated by the latest Wizards move at 800-636-1067 on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. Good article by Candace Buckner from the Washington Post. The headline is, what are the Wizards doing? No, seriously, what are they doing? And the first few paragraphs, they're pretty good. They suck you in. They bring you into the story. Give the Wizards this. They're not boring. Some NBA franchises prefer to comfort the anxiety of their fan bases with rebuilding plans. They'll tank games and hoard high draft picks, as the Philadelphia 76ers did during the process days. Or they'll make painful decisions and trade away superstars while embracing a youth movement, as the Oklahoma City Thunder is doing now. This humdrum way of running a franchise, which provides a sense of stability for a fan base and even a vision for the future, might be for other cities, but not here. No, ma'am. In Washington, we want mystery. Give us instability and a nebulous future, please and thank you. That pretty much sums it up. Like, I'm guessing a lot of people have questions about what the Wizards are doing at this point. I know Drab T-Shirt is one of them because he went on a Rui rant at about 6:15 this morning.
If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. And I wasn't as frustrated with it yesterday because I kind of expected it because you'd heard the whispers. But I got a little angry when I read that they're not even going to consider trading Kyle Kuzma, because what I would equate the Wizards, at least the last couple of years, with Tommy Shepard is, it's a hamster wheel. Mm-hmm. It's just spinning round and round. He likes to make a lot of deals.
He does.
But
he's active.
If you look at it, in the last 3 years, you look at their record 3 seasons ago when they had Russell Westbrook. So they traded John Wall. They decided, you know what? It just hasn't panned out like we would have liked with John and Bradley Beal together.
Right.
We maxed out at second round in the NBA playoffs. John's damaged, whatever. The chemistry's not what it was. We're going to ship out John Wall. So they get Russell Westbrook. And when Russell Westbrook's there, started off really rough, if you look at the first half of the season. Then the second part of the season, they got it going. They finished as the 8th seed. I'm not saying that that's great, but they got into the playoffs. I think they won their little play-in game, whatever it was. They finished 34-38, so roughly around 500. Then they ship out Westbrook. They get Kuzma, KCP, Montrezl Harrell, Spencer Dinwiddie. Think of all these guys they've had.
And
they trade them.
They're all gone.
For Porzingis. So now they've got Kuzma and Porzingis together, and they haven't played a ton of games together, and maybe their hopes, and EB would say, well, they're banking on when these guys are together, they're going to start winning. Is that just, they're spinning their wheels. So now, like, Rui's the guy you drafted, and I would say, you know, I'd give a slight edge. Kyle Kuzma's a better player. But if Rui played as many minutes as Kyle Kuzma, the numbers would be eerily close.
Well, also, too, it's frustrating. And again, this is an analyst giving a trade grade like a few hours after the deal is done. We don't know ultimately how it's going to work out. But they gave the Wizards a D on the trade, a D minus on the trade.
Well, they got nothing for him. They gave him away.
They gave the Lakers an A. Like, I want those grades to be swapped. I want the Wizards to be winning the deals.
Well, because for the Lakers, all right, they are in a similar spot as the Wizards, trying to get into the playoffs. But if they have Rui added to that team, they know he's going to be a valuable piece on their bench. Potentially spot starter. Nunn is he's barely going to play on this team. Tell me what Nunn is going to do for the team. And then they got a bunch of second-round picks. We know that's worthless. They gave him away for nothing.
The Wizards can't hit on first-round picks. Unless they're like the second, first or third pick? How are
the
they
second round picks are
how
nothing.
How on earth are you going to hit on a second round pick?
Is his name Kendrick?
Kendrick Nunn.
Kendrick Nunn.
Kendrick Nunn, yes.
They okay. didn't acquire
He's
going to
play
him.
10 minutes a game.
But right. that's not why they acquired him.
I know.
Him.
They just gave away Rui.
Yes. He's a nothing. He scored 0 points in 11 games this year.
He's I gave him away.
I don't understand. Did Rui's contract sneak up on Tommy? Why wasn't Rui traded this summer when you had a logjam of small forwards on your team?
Or be bold forward? And trade Kuzma or, and re-sign Rui, which will be cheaper and you'll get about the same production.
The apathy in this town for the Wizards is deservedly so because they don't do anything. But don't get it twisted. They're the Commanders on the field. They have the same winning percentage over the last 15 years. This team sucks. The franchise sucks. They do nothing. They're stuck. There's no plan. There's no hope. This trade just sums up everything. The only people who are happy about this trade are the Japanese because their native son is going to a real NBA city in a real team that takes winning seriously.
And they play it safe all the time. Like the Beal extension was the safe play. Mm-hmm. He's a good player. I'm not saying he was second leading scorer 2 years in a row. He's been an all-star. But they haven't won anything with him. And then they saddle themselves by giving him this deal where he's making $46 million.
And you know what? No trade clause.
You could name several guards in the NBA better than Bradley Beal. Several. That play his same position.
Of course you can.
And you give him a supermax deal, that hamstrings you. They're about to do it with Kyle Kuzma. You watch. They're going to overpay him. They won't even listen to trade offers for Kyle Kuzma?
I thought draft might have simmered down a little bit.
Thinking about all of Tommy's second round draft picks he loves just gathering. Admiral Schofield, Cassius Winston, Isaiah Todd, some Ukrainian guy they've never heard of.
None of those guys work.
None of them.
None of them have panned out.
Like, just think of how many deals though. He went from Wall to Westbrook, Westbrook to Kuzma, KCP, Montrezl Harrell, to Spencer Dinwiddie, Davis Bertans gets moved, Porzingis. Like, it's just, it is shuffling the chairs on the Titanic. That's what they're doing.
He's throwing a bucket of crap against the
Trader
wall.
Trader Tommy is, I'll give him this, he is active. He likes making him some deals. Hmm.
I looked at the team that was in the playoffs a couple seasons ago.
Right.
All right, with Russell Westbrook. You don't remember half the names on this team. Like, this is who was on that roster. Hold on. 2021. They had Bertans. They had Isaac Bonga. They had Troy Brown Jr.
I like Bonga.
They had Thomas Bryant.
I like Bertans.
You're big on Bonga.
Look, they had Bonga, Brown Jr., Thomas Bryant, Chandler Hutchinson, Robin Lopez, your boy Garrison Matthews, Raul Neto, we learned it was Raul, not Raul. Mm-hmm. Jerome Robinson, Ishmith, like they had a Wagner, they had Mo Wagner. Mm-hmm. They've had so many. That's just 2 seasons ago, EB.
Mm-hmm. How about in 19? You just brought up Bertans. In 2019 and 2020, that year he averaged 15 points a game. He's down to 4 points a game. He's playing 10 minutes a game for Dallas.
Well, because he's on a real team.
Didn't Tommy give him the big sack of money too, and then he dealt him?
I think so.
That's the Wizards' specialty is make a move, doesn't really work out, get rid of it, and then start over again.
Yeah.
They love doing that. Like, Rui, if you really think about it, I know it's that you don't expect this guy to be, you know, to turn into Giannis because you didn't draft him number one. But you drafted him, you develop him, he's a pretty good player. You give him away for nothing?
They don't like him.
They gave him away for nothing, Cakes.
They didn't like Rui. Rui didn't like the Wizards, and the Wizards didn't like Rui.
And then they're so beholden to Kyle Kuzma. And I say he's better than what I thought. If you look at his numbers, he's almost, they're trying to hype him up for an all-star berth. He's not that good. But he's in probably the top 40 players in the league. You can't trade him?
Drabby. I might become an NBA fan free agent. I might have to at least consider it. I may have to put my fandom out for, like, if other teams want to approach me, I'm in the phase where I'd be ready to...
You're being courted.
To be courted by
We should
by
book
another.
Fans from other cities and let them pitch to you to come on board.
Like, maybe I should be, I don't know, maybe I should be a Raptors fan. Maybe I should be a Hawks fan.
Look, Rui's not some, like, blossoming all-star, okay? Like, he is what he is.
Correct.
But he's not the garbage that you just gave away.
Right.
And that's Tommy's fault because they didn't give him the minutes. They didn't develop him. They panicked and trade for Kuzma. They have a zillion forwards on the team. None of them could improve enough because they didn't get enough time on the court. Now, some of that's Rui's fault with the whole thing that went on last year. That was tilting. The mental health break where he was gone for 3 months.
What was that? Like, I mean, was he legitimately just depressed?
We never really got an answer. So, you know,
or
some
was
of this
he
is
unhappy
on Rui.
Then?
Well, I think some of the rumor was that there was a lot of pressure after the Olympics for the failure in the Olympics, that he felt like he let Japan down.
But to JP's point,
I'm sure I care if he lets Japan down.
If Rui played 36 minutes per game this year, he would average 19-6. Not that far.
A slight drop off of Kuzma, but
not that
much.
Off from what Kuzma gives you per 36.
And if you look at Kuzma, when Kuzma was 24-25, they put up like the same numbers.
And actually fairly similar, maybe lifetime, better three-point percentage, actually. Kind of weird.
Man, it's really going to set drop off if Rui goes out to the Lakers and starts scorching
the
it.
Only problem I have with dealing Rui is I would think he would just be a nice piece, but to get rid of him, I would want something in return, and we literally got nothing. That's the only thing I don't understand.
You got middle schoolers.
No, you got nothing.
2029? Swapping draft picks in 2029? Are you kidding me?
Do you think Tom Shepard is going to be here in 2029?
Are they second round picks that they swap?
Yes, 2029, second round pick.
Yes. They don't even count.
The lesser draft pick in 2029 or something.
No, the problem is Tommy has zero equity as a GM.
Because, well, why should he have equity?
No, I'm just saying every single GM swings and misses. They make bad trades. They have bad draft picks. But the problem is Tommy has no equity to fall back on if he makes a bad trade.
I'm the only one.
Or whiffs on a draft
pick. Yeah, but the luxury he has is he works for Ted, who's notoriously loyal to his.
I don't know. And I think Drab hit on something with this lack of development thing, too.
I'm the only one who is a Westbrook guy.
These players just seem to be stuck in mediocrity.
Well, Kuzma's taken his game to another level since he's been here, I think.
Why were they in such a rush to get rid of Westbrook? Can you just tell me that? Like, he trades for Russell Westbrook. And Westbrook wasn't at his MVP level, but he got him into the playoffs. Why did they have to deal Russell Westbrook?
You know, I'm kind of convinced that Tommy Shepard, he's like a fantasy guy. He's like he just throwing stuff against the wall. He's just willing to make trades all the time. Like, what is the plan? What's the plan going forward?
He's trying to find a group that works. That's all.
Is the plan Beal, Porzingis, and Kuzma making $25 million per year?
I think it
might
be.
That's the plan?
I think they think that's a good three.
Ted's too loyal. Everybody knows Ted's the one that wanted Beal back. I don't know if Tommy wanted him back. One person in town wanted Bradley Beal. Two people. Brad's wife and Ted. Well, that's it.
Because Ted is scared to death of completely bottoming out. He doesn't want to be the worst team in the league.
Well, because it hurts. It hurts in the nobody goes to games if you're the worst team in the league.
Did you see the crowd at the Warriors game? There were 12,000 people there rooting for Steph Curry. It's already happening.
Well, it's been happening for a long time.
It's already setting in.
I haven't been to a game in the last month, but when I went to see them play Dallas, that was a good crowd. It was in the middle of the week. I was surprised.
How many people were there rooting for Luka? Half the crowd?
No, it was a Wizards crowd.
When I go to Wizards games, it's usually pretty.
It was a pretty good crowd.
Yeah, pretty.
This should be one of the best NBA cities. This city at its core loves basketball. They've just had a horrible product to watch professionally for the last 20-something years, if not longer.
The college product's kind of falling apart, too, around here. Not what it was.
But it picks up quick, in my opinion.
800-636-1067 is the number if you want to weigh in on the Wizards dealing Rui Hachimura to the Lakers. Are you frustrated by Tommy Shepard's latest move? Call us now at 800-636-1067.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it.
I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Taking your calls on the MGM National Harbor listener lines at 800-636-1067 in the wake of the Rui Hachimura deal. By the way, here's a look at the Wizards' first-round picks, what they've done with them since 2014. And by the way, the last Wizards' first-round pick to earn an extension was Otto Porter Jr., who was taken almost a decade ago in the 2013 NBA draft.
And I would say they shouldn't have extended him. I know on this show I was vociferous. I thought they overpaid Otto.
And since then, here's what they have done with their first-round picks. 2014, they traded their first-round pick for Marcin Gortat. 2015, they drafted Kelly Oubre Jr. and then traded for Trevor Ariza.
Should have kept Oubre.
2016, they traded for Markieff Morris. They traded their pick. 2017, they traded their pick for Bojan Bogdanovic.
Should have kept Bobo.
2018, Troy Brown Jr. was a pick. They wound up dealing him for Daniel Gafford. Hachimura was a pick in 2019. He just got dealt. The other picks are Denny in 2020. He's averaging 8 points per game. Kispert's averaging 9.5 points per game. And Johnny Davis is averaging 1.1 points per game in the G League.
Cakes, they've had so much churn. I looked at last year's roster. Half the guys are gone.
Unrecognizable.
And look, sometimes I've been wrong on plenty of guys. Spencer Dinwiddie, he's silly in Dallas. I called him Dudwiddie here.
I liked him. He
was a dud here. But this is when he left the Wizards. He took out the hammer to the front office in a way. Mm-hmm. He talks about his role. He said, when the role changed and they wanted me to pass more, they felt like I was scoring a lot. Like, that's a bad thing. I did that. I took my foot off the gas, scoring-wise, because that's what they felt. The team needed to get Kuzma and KCP and those guys shots. I said, look, I already got paid. This is about y'all trying to get the shots that y'all need, whatever. Who tells one of the best players on the team?
Yeah, we don't want to score as much.
Quit scoring.
Right.
Got to give the other guys shots.
Well, didn't he also feel that kind of vibe from Brad? Like,
I think so.
I think there was some of that.
Like a jealousy thing.
Something wasn't right.
Sam Quinn from CBSSports.com, who wrote the column on the trade between the Lakers and the Wiz, he makes a great point. He says, yet again, the Wizards have proven either unwilling or unable to properly develop young players. That's going to become increasingly problematic for them as their two injury-prone stars, Bradley Beal and Kristaps Porzingis, age out of the phases of their careers in which they can keep this team afloat without support.
It doesn't seem to have a direction. And what I feel is going to happen is they make a lot of these safe plays. It's kind of history in the last decade plus. Like, you bring up Otto. That was kind of the safe play at the time, giving him extension. Mm-hmm. He didn't deserve that kind of money. He wasn't a difference maker player. And I don't think Kyle Kuzma is that type of player either. And I feel like they moved Rui, gave him away for nothing. So now they're all in on Kuzma. Okay. Tell me if that's going to win you a bunch of games.
The Wizards welcomed Kendrick Nunn in a tweet yesterday with a highlight video.
Of his 1-3.
It was 11 seconds long. That's everything you need to know about the trade date.
He was okay in Miami a couple seasons ago.
I think he got hurt, right? Something happened.
Now he's the third guard on the Lakers.
They clearly didn't want anything. They wanted to just get rid of Rui. And that's what they did. That's the thing that's most disturbing is I just wish they would have gotten more for him. I actually liked Rui. But I'm okay with dealing him because it seemed like he was unhappy. His agent or somebody was pushing for him to get out of here. JP's telling me he wouldn't even stand in the huddle.
It was coming to an end. He had to go.
But you would think you'd get something better than what they got. That's the only thing I have a problem with.
I mean, Nunn averaged as a rookie 15 points a game, then 14 points a game.
But clearly he's a nothing. He's like acquiring cakes. Or me.
There it is. The streak continues.
Or me. Acquiring me. Okay, and be useless. Let's go to Mike in D.C. Mike, what's up?
Hey, morning, guys. So I've been a Wizards fan since all the way back in the 80s. Favorite player ever was Bernard King. And there's a guy who played tough and refused to, like, back down. And I think this culture starts in Leontes, but it also starts from a horrible hiring coaches. At this point, we are a soft organization. Like, Rui Hachimura, he has a lot of talent. We did not develop him, and we let him kind of get away with not playing for personal reasons, and I understand there's a lot of reasons why. But we have a history, whether it's Scott Brooks making excuses why we don't play defense or players that we bring in that don't fit our mold. If you look at the Miami Heat, they develop a culture. They develop defense. This is something that the Wizards have lacked for longer than I can remember, and I'm okay dealing him if you get something in return. And at this point, I haven't seen Wes Unseld Jr. get a technical or show any emotion or understand how to develop players. I know it's only his second year, but I would like to see some fire on the sidelines and on our team because we seem to be satisfied with mediocrity, and so does Ted Leontes. And I don't see much of a future at this point. If Beal's out, Porzingis is out, it's a back and forth on a continuous basis. I'm a jaded Wizards fan at this point. But appreciate your time, guys.
Well, I think most of the fan base is jaded at this point. How could they not be with the results that they've posted over the last 40-plus years?
I mean, their hope, Tommy Shepherd was hoping, if you have Beal, Porzingis, and Kuzma healthy, and then they brought in Monte Morris, who Wes Unseld, the head coach, was familiar with in Denver.
Yep.
Doesn't commit a ton of turnovers. They thought that was an upgrade at point guard. And then whatever you do at the front court, if you want to play Gafford, if you want to go small and have Porzingis at the five with some of that depth, they thought that team was going to be better. And to be fair, they've only played 22, 23, 24 games, whatever it is, together. And maybe that's where they're saying that they can still win. But the problem is, even if you have all of those guys healthy, how much are you going to win? You're not elite. You're not going to be one of the top teams, because to be a top team, this is the reality of the NBA. You need to have a true stud. So the Celtics got Jason Tatum, and they have some other good players around them, but they've got one of the top players in the game in Tatum. And you can just go down the list. The Bucks got Giannis. The 76ers Embiid. They don't have a top guy.
So what are you suggesting? You want to go Cakes' route?
I think you
got to
go. I think you. Well, everything's on the table. Like, you don't say, we're not going to.
And then you get the third pick. You miss out on one.
Well, you got to hit.
Or, yeah, hold on. You get the third pick, and then, you know, it's just going to be another auto.
Maybe.
And then you're, you know.
Or maybe it's a Luka. Third pick.
All right. Good luck with it. Good luck.
I mean, that's the way it is. Jason Tatum, I believe, was the third pick in the draft.
Mm-hmm. Good luck.
Well, Scoot Henderson, the number two player in this year's draft, is supposed to be a superstar. It's just that Wembanyama is a generational talent.
I liked Ivy last year. That's who I wanted. Now they would have to move up.
This is not popular. Guy. They need to bottom out for two or three seasons, stockpile as many high picks as they can, and just redo this whole thing.
Yeah, but you understand that they're not, you know, with the lottery, that, you know, they might only get the third or fourth pick.
Yep. Yeah, but that's fine. I would rather have multiple years picking at 2, 3, or 4 than multiple years of picking at 9, 10, or 11. Because, I'm sorry, that scenario has played out and it's not working. It just doesn't work.
We had that chance. Until
stockpiling all these 9, 10, 11 picks has not turned around the fortunes of this flagging franchise.
Here's the frustrating thing. There are some teams that have been much better than the Wizards. Who the Wizards scratched out a couple years ago an eighth seed.
Right.
Okay, that was with Russell Westbrook. So they clawed their way into the playoffs, and they were out in the blink of an eye. But there are some teams like Utah who year after year were kind of knocking on the door, sometimes even like the one seed, the two seed. And they were like, you know what? It's not working. And they made a bold move and got rid of Gobert, and they got rid of Donovan Mitchell. Take a look at Utah. They didn't even bottom out. They're still better than what the Wizards are. When they traded away their building blocks of Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert.
I mean, Drab, we're looking up at the eternally like 500-ish Atlanta Hawks. And shocker, they're 24-24. They're doing exactly what the Hawks do.
Well, dude,
we can't even be the Atlanta Hawks.
The Hawks? No, you can't. The Hawks have been to an Eastern Conference Finals with Trae Young.
I mean, we can't.
Didn't they get to the Eastern Conference Finals a couple seasons ago?
Yes.
The Wizards haven't been to an Eastern Conference Finals since we were 6 or 7 years old, Cakes.
I have to suffer looking up at the Indiana Pacers, who, like, 2 months ago, everybody's saying they were tanking for Wembanyama. They're ahead of us.
No.
Now I'm getting some of the Drab bitterness.
Yeah. Because deep to your core, you're a Wizards fan, but they've kind of knocked the fervor out of you. You don't have bullets fever.
I don't want to live in a world where the Kings are good. I'm sorry. I don't feel like I can live in this world. All right. See what you've done to me, Drab? See what you've done over here? All right, when we come back, we will talk some NFL, some salary cap with Brad Spielberger from Pro Football Focus. We'll do that next here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.